This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
13 degrees in Melbourne, heading for a top today of 19. Good morning, Alistair Kingston with your 10 o'clock Joy 94.9 news. Three major footy finals will be subject to Australia's new security measures today after the nation was put on high terror alert for the first time. While authorities don't believe a terrorist attack is imminent, they have intelligence there are people within the community who have the intent and capability to mount attacks. AFL and NRL finals in Perth, Townsville and Sydney are expected to undergo new security measures, and security will also be beefed up at airports, ports, military bases, government buildings and large public events. A statistician says the death rate went up 15% in a Victorian town blanketed with toxic smoke during a lengthy coal mine fire. Analysis of deaths in Morwell during the past 5 years showed a high probability the death rate was above average during and since the 45-day fire at the Hazelwood coal mine. Associate Professor Adrian Barnett from the Queensland University of Technology says there's an 89% probability the death rate was 15% higher than usual. Public service insiders claim Prime Minister Tony Abbott's takeover of Indigenous Affairs is in disarray, with hundreds of specialist public servants retrenched and funding and programs stalled. Fairfax reports senior leaders in the Prime Minister and Cabinet Department's Indigenous Affairs Group have based themselves in Canberra's dress circle, nearly 10 kilometres away from their rank and file workers. The internal problems have emerged on the eve of a trip by the Prime Minister to Arnhem Land. Overseas, in France's president has travelled to war-torn Iraq to pledge efforts to address the global threat posed by jihadists. François Hollande says France is ready to step up its military involvement. Meanwhile, US Secretary of State John Kerry was in neighbouring Turkey to marshal action against the tide on the Islamic State jihadist group's expansion. Closer to home, and Ian Thorpe has denied rumours he's dating singer Ricky Martin. Rumours began to circulate this week that Thorpe had struck a deal with a magazine for another tell-all interview in which he'd reveal he's dating the singer, who's a coach on The Voice Australia. However, Thorpe's manager James Erskine's denied the claims, telling the Sydney Morning Herald, "I think someone's having you on." Briefly in other news, a proposal to split California into six separate states has failed. The US and EU have hit Russia with tough new sanctions, which include asset freezes and visa bans on prominent Russians. And a dog shelter in northern England has raised almost $2 million in 24 hours following a horrific fire that killed more than 50 animals. Police have arrested a 15-year-old boy on suspicion of arson. Turning to Joy Sport, Geelong captain Joel Selwood's refused to comment on a clash with North Melbourne's Brent Harvey that'll attract AFL match review panel scrutiny. Harvey's a nervous weekend ahead of Monday's panel findings to see whether he's clear to play in the semi-final against Sydney at ANZ Stadium. To rugby league, and South Sydney thrashed Manly 40-24 in the opening to the NRL's finals last night. The Rabbitohs get next weekend off, while the Sea Eagles have another chance against the winner of Sunday's elimination final between Melbourne and Canterbury. And in tennis news, Australia's men can retain their place at the top level of Davis Cup with a win over Uzbekistan in the doubles in Perth. Rising teenager Nick Kyrgios and veteran Leighton Hewitt both won their singles matches yesterday. The team from Saturday Magazine are up next here on Joy 94.9. But first, a check of Melbourne's weather.
Joy 94.9 weather.
A mostly fine but partly cloudy day ahead for the city with a top of 19 degrees. After an overnight low of 9, Sunday will be again partly cloudy with 19 degrees, while right now in Melbourne it's 13 degrees. I'm Alistair Kingston. I'll be back with your next Joy 94.9 News Bulletin at 11.
On today's show, we look at bike safety, the potential death of community broadcasting. We get our kink on and we head to the movies. And it's all fruit and nuts here. Saturday Magazine starts now.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine with David Macca McCarthy.
And good morning across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au. This is Saturday Magazine, a unique mix of world news, current affairs, lifestyle, and of course, a healthy sprinkling of queer culture. across your brekkie. I'm Macca. Good morning on this Saturday, the 13th of September. Thanks, guys, for the news. It's currently 13 degrees, heading for a top of 19. Now, I've got two co-hosts this morning. For the first hour, I'm joined by the very clever comedian with a love of politics, and I'm going to love this, and a Melbourne Fringe show, Toby Halligan. Good morning.
Good morning. It's an absolute delight to be here.
It's a fantastic day. Now, your show is called, now let me get this right, Toby Lerone.
Yep.
But it might contain traces of nuts.
Yeah.
I'm interested, why is it that there are so many people that are allergic to nuts?
That's a very good scientific question. I'm not going to lie. As a comedian, I am absolutely not in a position to provide answers to anyone about that or medical advice of any kind. There will be a wave of anaphylaxis across Victoria if anyone takes any of my advice about nuts seriously. The nuts in question are purely federal politicians.
No argument there. And I actually find it amusing. I travel a lot, and sometimes on American domestic flights, they actually announced that they're not serving nuts on the plane because they've been alerted to the fact that there's someone on the plane that's allergic.
And everyone starts looking around. Where are they?
Who is that person?
God, I want my cashews.
That's
I totally understand. And it might as well be that there's a federal poly there. Barnaby Joyce might be
it
there.
It could be, yes. Big Clive. Economy.
Probably not. He probably won't be. They're probably flying with the RAF, knowing them.
Yeah.
Typical approach.
Bit of a VIP jet. Now, coming up on today's show, we have, of course, a little bit of news. We're going to talk sports, bike safety, which I think is going to be quite interesting, a bit of arts, and much, much more. But I think pretty much the first story is Channel 31. Now, community television has played a really, really important role. Lots of people performers have started there and gone on to bigger and better things. And Malcolm Turnbull, the communications minister, announced that Channel 31 is going to go on to the web by the end of December next year. Now, I have to show my hand. I'm an ex-president of Bent TV, and Channel 31 is a very broad church, as they say, but has provided some incredible entertainment and opportunities.
Fish cam.
I know.
That just wonderful dadaist experiment.
And, you know, there are people that, you know, have recorded that on a loop and just have it running continuously. Mm. But I'm interested why they've decided, why the federal government and why Malcolm Turnbull has decided that Channel 31 needs to go on the web. Mm. I suspect it's more about being able to sell the spectrum and get some money for it, because previous government, Stephen Conroy, made lots of noises about providing extra funding for community television. Didn't deliver much of it.
No.
Malcolm Turnbull made lots of welcoming noises about it. But, you know, perhaps both Stephen Conroy and Malcolm were both typing with one hand. Mm. Rove, Hamish and Andy, Waleed Ali, they all started their careers at Channel 31.
Yeah, absolutely.
I probably ended mine. But I think it's a great tragedy. What do you think?
I absolutely think it's just purely about the money. My understanding is they're going to be selling it to the telecommunications, you know, for mobile and broadband spectrum. But as you're saying, I think it's an enormous pity, because Channel 31 is this kind of wonderful little experimental pond, if you like, where people can actually go out there and try new ideas.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, one thing that the various commercial pressures that, you know, revenue in television generally is going down.
Yeah.
ABC and SBS are both under funding pressure, so they're not necessarily going to be the kinds of spaces where people can actually experiment in the same way that you can on Channel 31. So I was involved with a few shows on Channel 31. I think most comedians of various stripes in Australia, and not just Channel 31, around the country, have gotten their start in community TV. So I think it's, as well, everyone works on the assumption that Malcolm Turnbull is the nice liberal, the liberal you can invite over for dinner. And obviously there'll be people listening who are liberals, you know, but there are people who work on the presumption that Turnbull is, you know, somehow much better than Tony Abbott. But I guess, you know, for all the nice talk, this is kind of a pretty big blow to the arts, unfortunately.
Even though
he does look great in a leather jacket.
He drags it out quite a bit.
And he is very charming in person, but he's...
You know. I mean, at the end of the day, actions speak louder than words, and we will have a chat a little bit later to Richard McClelland. He's the general manager of Channel 31. Now, Sammy.
Yes, Mike. Good morning.
You were previously president of Bent TV. And Bent TV is one of the, if not one of the, I think it might be one of the founders of, certainly involved right at the beginning of Channel 31.
Yeah, well, Bent TV is 22 this year. So they started just before Joy did, and Joy's celebrating 21 this year.
Yeah, so, and I mean, there's been an awful disaster this is, I think, that it's going to the net. What does that mean for something like Bent TV, which has provided a platform for some pretty diverse programs over the years?
I think the sad thing is that we're actually going to be able to see is Bent TV is got to the stage now where you know, we've been able to get some grants and some funding and put on some really amazing series. Last year, Bent TV put on a Queer Young Thing, which showed what's faced by our youth. Anything from depression to religion to addiction problems and growing up. This year, currently on air, I think it's the third week we're doing Transmission.
Yeah.
So, which is just an amazing series, which is everybody pretty much on the show, bar a couple of medical experts, are all part of their trans journeys. So for Bent TV to actually not have a platform as Channel 31 is going to be a great loss. I mean, a lot of the content is actually watched on YouTube now, and I believe there's a watchers of 45 or 50 countries around the world that are actually watching Bent TV on YouTube.
Yeah, and I think as well one of the big problems in Australia is because the three commercial networks, and I should say I work for one of them, I work at Channel 10 on the project, are generally, you know, not necessarily spaces that show kind of more challenging alternative content. That's not having a crack at them, but they don't. ABC and SBS do experiment a little bit more, but because both are subject to government funding, both are, I think, in different circumstances, less likely to show programs that could be more challenging or that could show, you know, not a fringe but alternative perspectives, you know, that could be more challenging to your average viewer. Whereas again, Channel 31 is a space where you can produce programs that are kind of outside the mainstream and prove to people that they have an audience and that they're worth watching and that they've got perspectives that are interesting.
We're starting to see that a little bit with you know, some programs on SBS, you know, similar like The Feed and programs similar to that, where they're actually
Ben Ryland. Previous producer of this program, and he's working on The Feed at the moment. And
yes, we're not bitter. We didn't lose him to SBS. It's up and onwards for some great things for him.
Absolutely.
It's unusual. It's very hard to actually try and get some content which actually is true representative of the diverse, multicultural and sexual nature of Australia and have that on commercial TV, because a lot of people, you know, live in their little bubbles of their universe and they just go, well, it's stuff that doesn't occur to me to watch.
Do you reckon it'll work on the internet?
I think it really depends on what people are used to. A lot of, I think we've seen a move, we see it through media now, you know, through the gay media, the publications are very strong online. A lot of stuff is, you know, the amount of people that you talk to now that I view things that will go and I miss my favourite show on television, I'll just watch it on the internet. So it's getting used to that, I think.
I think as well, the challenge for putting content online is that if, say, like the way TV networks work, you know, and the way they can be beneficial is, you know, a whole variety of shows get their start on a network and one show takes off, and that show through advertising drags everything else up, you know, and that's how it works. You know, the network takes gambles on a whole variety of projects. One or two of them really take off and draw attention to all the rest. The problem with online content is the moment people start getting serious hits, they've got an incentive to jump ship. You know, it makes it harder to keep people focused on one particular website, because the minute you start your own YouTube channel, you can potentially start earning revenue, or you can potentially get something with another channel. You know, I'm not suggesting, I'm sure there'll be mutual loyalty, etc., but that's the benefit of the network model, if you like, that everyone kind of gets dragged up when a show succeeds.
And I think the other thing that we see online as well is the amount of competition out there is extraordinary.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a greater battle, I think, with the online content comparative with actually having the content someone can turn on their television.
Yeah, and I mean, the challenge is going to be how to get people to watch it on the net. And whilst we all spend an enormous amount of time on the net, I suppose sitting down, even if you're casting it to your television, sitting down and actually watching something is on the television set, as opposed to looking at it on your laptop or your tablet or whatever, I think is going to be the challenge.
And I think the other thing that we've seen and why this has become such an issue now with community television is this was faced by community radio recently in the last few months, and there was a massive uproar and a massive outcry and a lot of people signing petitions to save community radio because there are a lot of people that listen to community radio stations. Then when it's come out about community television, you know, possibly losing their ability to be on air, not as many people took that seriously because not as many people take community television as seriously as they do community radio. So there wasn't as big an outcry, I don't think, which is why this has become such an issue.
If you have a thought on this, hit us up on Facebook, tweet us, or SMS 0427 569 949. You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Toby. Stay tuned because hopefully we're going to speak to Richard McClelland. He's the General Manager of Channel 31. Stay tuned.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Toby Helligan. Now, we've been talking about Channel 31 being moved to the net by Communications Minister Malcolm Turnbull. Richard McClelland is the General Manager of Channel 31, and I'm sure he's got some pretty strong views on this. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
Not too bad.
Is this a warning signal for all community broadcasting? Is community radio next, do you think?
I guess that's a possibility. I think the Minister's view is that ultimately all broadcasting will find its way onto the internet, freeing up all the radio spectrum. In his speech, he does hint at the growth in streamed radio over the net over a period of 4 years. So maybe there's a hint in that.
And look, if people are concerned about this, Richard, how can they? What can they do? What petitions, or you know, do they revert to the old Keep Australia Post going and actually write a letter to their local member? I mean, what should they do?
Yes, all of that. We're running a bit of a campaign via a website called committocommunitytv.org.au. So we'd encourage all your listeners, their friends and family, to sign on. There's an email facility in that website. And also, yes, let's keep Australia Post and Snail Mail going. Write a few letters to the Minister himself. Lobby your local MP if you've got the energy and passion for it. Even write to the Prime Minister and indicate that this is just simply the wrong thing to do.
Richard, hi, this is Toby here.
Hi, Toby.
G'day. Look, I'm rather upset about this entire business. I've done a few things with Channel 31 and have a lot of friends who got their careers, you know, their careers began there.
Yeah.
So what will the actual, like, I guess my understanding is annually you raise about $2 million odd dollars through, you know, advertising revenue, etc.
That's right.
What will the transition, you know, if it were to happen, would the volunteers, the equipment, do you have a base that means you could make that transition relatively easily? Or because it seems like this is a bit of a fait accompli, isn't it?
It does sound that way, although we're hoping that the door remains open, perhaps only a little bit, but open nonetheless for some more constructive dialogue. But to answer your question, such a move, such a change is momentous and would require an extraordinary restructuring of our business model and our operating model. And we're not sure, and I don't think anyone really is, that a linear broadcast television channel can make a successful change to online broadcasting. We're not sure whether the audience will travel with us, whether sponsors, on your point made about the two-odd million we raised keep ourselves going, will move with us, and indeed whether the program makers will move with us. I mean, it is a different medium. That's a fact.
Because you already do stream online, and I don't know, I've not seen exactly what the figures are for that, but do you think, could Channel 31 compete in that space? Because obviously the web is kind of the African savannah of, you know, of communications mediums. It's a battleground.
It's ubiquitous. Look, I'm not sure. We have grave misgivings about being able to successfully transition, look, we concede that, and we tried to communicate with the Minister that we understand that audiences are moving online, and we're willing to adapt to that future, but to ask us to do it in the time frame he's proposing is just, it's ludicrous. It's too soon. You've got to remember that the community television receives no government funding, unlike community radio, so we've got to do that within our own resources, and we're, you know, pretty tightly under-resourced.
What's it going to mean, Richard, for the staff, particularly of Channel 31? What's it going to mean for them?
Well,
I mean, it's an uncertain future, isn't it?
It is. We're trying not to focus on that. We're trying to maintain a positive attitude, business as usual. We're trying to encourage all stakeholders, including the staff, to take a positive attitude that maybe, just maybe, there might be a solution with some more reasonable discussion with the government to keep us as a free-to-air operation.
How much engagement was there from the minister or the department over this change?
Well, there was nothing with the Department of Communications. They haven't talked to us at all. And we've only had two meetings with the minister over the past 6 months or so. So, in truth, there has been very little consultation, and that's been particularly disappointing. And we haven't yet received any formal or official notification from his office.
Well, it sounds like they've adopted the approach that Labor Party did when it came to the mining tax. So can you launch a massive, well-funded campaign backed by the various alumni from the community TV sector? Because, I mean, the list of people who got their start at Channel 31 and other community stations is extraordinary. You know, yeah. Hamish and Andy, Walida Lee, Rove McManus, and Estella Young, you know, began her career on Channel 31. You need to launch... Are you going to launch some ads of various kinds in TV?
We've got promotional spots on air. Mm. I think you guys are running some promotional spots for us, and indeed so are the other community radio stations. So we're getting support in that way. You've seen some of the press activity. I'd expect yesterday's Age in particular was a fantastic piece on the talent alumni, as you've pointed out. And of course there are hundreds of behind-the-scenes crew that have got their start in television because they've been able to cut their teeth and hone their craft at Channel 31.
I mean, I think the commercial broadcasters, perhaps this is an unusual suggestion, but it's in their interests for Channel 31 to continue, because so much, I suppose, is a proving ground and is a training ground for so many people that work in commercial television, that you know, they've learnt their craft on Channel 31. So perhaps the commercial stations can, if nothing else, perhaps give you the odd spot here and there. If you put together a message, perhaps they can run that message from time to time for you.
Yeah, you'd think so. Since training on the job seems to disappeared in the television industry or got thinner on the ground, and truthfully, community television is about the only real workplace experience that aspiring producers and talent can avail themselves of.
I mean, I find it interesting. So you haven't been officially notified of this?
That's correct.
So you read it in the newspaper?
The first we heard about it was when the journalist started calling us up for a comment.
I mean, that's pretty extraordinary, but what it says to me is the decision is made, but decisions can always be changed. And I think, you know whilst not as many people probably watch Channel 31 as we would wish, the reality is if it does disappear off the television set and only is on the internet, I'd have some serious concerns about whether it's going to retain the viewers, but also whether the sponsorship will follow. Because without the sponsorship, ultimately, you can't do it.
Exactly, you can't survive without income, of course, and none of us can. But it isn't just about ratings, of course, but nonetheless, Channel 31 in Melbourne reaches about 450,000 to 500,000 people a week. That's not insignificant, but it's the loss of access to publicly owned broadcasting spectrum, and it's about the loss of participation, the expression of diversity, you know, the multicultural sector, the disability sector, your sector, the sporting associations, special interest groups, universities, the training ground that we've just been speaking about, all of that will disappear in a sense, because it's no longer a broadcast medium.
Richard, one thing that we were talking about earlier was the fact that Channel 31, by its nature, is more of an experimental space, and this is kind of exactly what you've just been saying, and the nature of the commercial broadcasters means that they often don't, you know, show much experimental television. ABC and SBS often have their hands tied to a degree because they're bound to government funding, they're both contracting, they're both subject to more political oversight, therefore they can show less challenging programming. Do you think the kinds of, you know, like obviously Channel 31's always been a space where much more interesting television was created. Is that going to happen? Like, will that move elsewhere, or what will happen to that?
It's hard to say what might happen to all that pent-up creative energy. I don't really know. But certainly people still aspire to see their work, their creativity, broadcast on free-to-air television. The excitement that you get from the students that come through from, you know, the Student Youth Network, part of Community Radio's here in Melbourne, they are thrilled to see their work broadcast on television. It's still an exciting medium to be associated with and involved in. To see that lost is just a tragedy.
So, Richard, just before we go, where can people get information on how they can start advocating for this?
Thank you. Look, we've got the website, as I mentioned earlier. It's committocommunitytv.org.au, and that would start the process.
Great. Richard McCullen, General Manager of Channel 31, I'm sure we're going to be talking to you again. Thanks for your time this morning, and good luck.
Good on you, thanks.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Toby Halligan. Stay tuned, because guess what? There's more.
What's your view? Let us know by sending us a text 0427-JOY949 or on Twitter at SatMagJOY949.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.